And welcome back to Coast to Coast with Heidi Hollis and your phone calls as we talk about shadow people and, of course, the Hat Man on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you and Heidi Hollis as well. Heidi, how did you get involved in all of this in the first place?
You know, I think a lot of us that get into these topics, it starts from personal experience. So I grew up in a haunted house that really floored me as a child and kind of scarred me to look for answers, and found quite a bit, and even had some kind of a brush with an alien, I guess you could say, myself and my sister had growing up as well. So where we had, I told you about this little toy clown that came after us when we were kids. Just really disturbing, and found that to have alien hands tied to it. And you know, something that I touched on too, I was telling you, I forgot to finish this story in regard to the shadow spider. I saw one dropping down once from my ceiling. I woke up and this thing, you know, closed its legs and retracted and formed a gray alien's face. Really just shocked me. So, I mean, that showed me another tie that these beings had to aliens, as well as having experienced grays, though they didn't abduct me, and then having shadow people come practically the next day. So it's been a crazy life. You know, I tell people I'm too ordinary to be called a psychic or anything like that, but I sure have tripped up into a lot of odd topics, from angels to the alien topic to the shadow. It's so odd, but you know what? I'm finding a lot of people are experiencing various things as well as I am. So the paranormal is pretty normal from what I understand.
Have you feared for your own safety because of these topics you handle?
I have when I've had government come and question me and taken me a couple of times. I think that's probably the most angering thing that I've ever had happen to me. I mean, aliens can be nasty, but okay. But our own people doing things that like that to harass us just because we look into these topics or experience certain things, that's where it goes a bit too far. And the very first shadow person that I confronted, well, I didn't aim to confront it, but it confronted me. And wow, did I have an earth-shattering revelation in being met with a 10-foot-tall shadow person trying to block my way out of a room. Really gut-wrenching, let's put it that way. So yeah, I've felt in danger, and I felt in danger when the Hat Man came not that long ago, because Santa is sitting across my bed to antagonize me, waiting there for me to open my eyes. I refused to open my eyes. I knew he was there, and when I went open my eyes, he stretched across the foot of my bed, and I was just like, this is not happening. So, I mean, that let me know, wow, he got into my place somehow. It's been a long time since something that rotten has snuck in through my fortress, but he did. And I sent him on his way as quickly as he came. But yeah, I mean, there's been some really touchy things that have come my way, and I wasn't always as big and bold with this stuff to be able to know that I could protect myself until I had four encounters with Jesus. I mean, I was a skeptic of such things, and I even put that in my book, The Secret War, and I had to rewrite it because I feel like I cheated in getting the faith that I do. But once I had those experiences and I was able to stand on my own two feet in defending myself, I was a pretty fearless, I guess you could say, a lot less fearful. You know, I mean, it's something really empowering when you know such a light is behind you, and that's the only thing that's got me up to even get on the line with any of these shows and to be able to speak in front of anybody. So, and you know, and actually, I wanted to put it out there too that for a while, I took a back seat to doing lectures and whatnot, but I'm back in the game. And, you know, if anybody is looking to, you know, share on these topics of the paranormal, shadow people, Hat Man, alien encounters, Jesus encounters, you know, I'm right here. And as long as we could keep it real and people don't feel like you have to stick to a certain standard, because let me tell you, I'm not the type to try to scare people. I try to get people to open their minds and their eyes and their hearts to things. So,
okay, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Springfield, Oregon to get started. Michael's with us. Michael, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I had a question and a comment on something, too. I'm a street sweeper by trade, and I'm all over town, and I've seen him at a parking lot I sweep. So as a security guard here and my other coworker just walking around the mall and just going in and out of the buildings, and the security guard's a skeptic, and he came up to me about it, and I've always believed in him because I've encountered him before, but my main question for her is my girlfriend's Hispanic, and she's seen him before in Mexico where she's from, and they've always had like a bandito-style hat on. I was just wondering why here in the Northwest there's a difference between down south, you know, and what they look like.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I've received stories from around the globe, from Korea to Indonesia to India. I mean, he does tend to change his hat up at times, but his presence is the same. His feeling of utter horror is the same. He might change that hat. You know, the cowboy type hat he seems to wear mostly in the southwestern regions of the United States. So I don't know why he's doing that. I don't know if he's getting bored. You'll get a kick out of this, George. I had this story is in the book, too. I had a gentleman who said the hat man came out of his closet without a hat, and his brother had a Freddy Krueger hat hanging on a stand.
Yeah.
And he stole it.
He took the Freddy Krueger hat.
He stole the Freddy Krueger hat.
Has anybody reported seeing little hat people or small shadow people, children or women? Do they look like women?
I have had a couple of people distinguish, you know, knowing that a shadow person was a female type of presence, to say that it looked like a woman. They didn't go into detail in regard to that. Little hat man, no. The hat man is something huge. You know, you talk again about the Slender Man type of thing. He's huge. This hat man is 7 to 10 feet tall. He is not a little guy. He is very huge. And people have described him coming into their bedrooms having to crouch down.
Can you feel them if they touch you?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The hat man, and the shadow people actually are able to touch a person. But it seems to be like I had to walk through a shadow person my first encounter. So I was numb. I couldn't tell you what it felt like. All I know is I was making my way through it. So I don't know what it would feel like to have them touch you. But I've had, you know, the hat man sit on my bed and whatnot. But and actually lift me up once as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tell me about these spiders again.
Oh, gosh. Shadow spiders. Disgusting. I have been known to look for a bat or something in the middle of the night because I just would think if I could just kill this thing, it won't return. I mean, I would wake up to their presence. I don't know what it is. It was as if, you know, your spidey senses or whatever goes off and you're like, I could feel something was in the room. And I would usually, you know, if they didn't hit my bed and they were crawling on the floor, I would roll over to see rows of eyes. At the level.
How many? How many were out there?
Oh, gosh. When it comes to shadow people, many. But you know what, George? There's been a lot of people who have seen tons of shadow people surrounding a single hat man.
So, like the hat man's in charge?
As if he is. Mm-hmm.
Next up, John in Yorba Linda, California on the wild card line. Good morning, John. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, John. Thank you.
Long-time listener, 14 years. First time I've gotten through.
Love it.
Awesome. Welcome.
Hi, Heidi. How are you doing?
Life is great. Me and George are just hanging out here. We're doing selfies. Remember, George?
That's right. We got to do that one day.
We did. Remember? Come on. I
erased it.
I erased it. You erased it?
That's right. Anyways, go ahead, John.
Sir, Heidi, I'm your friend on Facebook, and I know I told you I was going to write you my story, but I don't have your email address. I don't know where it is. And it's such a short, it's such a simple story. It was in 1973, and I was 18. I graduated high school. It's the summertime. I come home late. It's like 12, so I drop my girlfriend off. Same routine. Everybody's asleep. I go down the hallway, and my bedroom's at the end of the hallway, and I have these two big windows, corner windows. Curtains are open, and I turn off the hallway light, turn on my bedroom light, and check the closet like I always do, and look under the bed as I always do, because the day you don't, that's the day the evil clown's under there.
So true.
You know, 18 years old, I'm embarrassed to say, I'm still doing that. So turned the light off and made the dive for the bed. So it was through the 15. And just sat on my bed for a minute with my feet, you know, on the bed, and looked at the window, and you know, my room's dark, but this thing is darker than dark. It's pitch black, and I thought it was leaning through my window because his back was towards me, but in reality, against the moonlight, I could see it coming into my window backwards. Because his foot's coming down onto my floor, and in a second, the second leg's going to come down, and my hair stood up, and my heart started beating so hard, all I could hear was the blood smashing into my skull with every beat of my heart. And I dove for the corner of my dresser, because I collect rocks and minerals, and I had a great big Indian grinding stone on the corner. That was my only weapon within reach, so I dove for that. Grabbed that big rock and jumped up to smash him with this thing, with my rock, and it was gone.
Wow.
And I, you know, I couldn't believe that because, you know, I know what I saw. I mean, you know, it terrified. I clearly saw him, and right. He's got a big top hat and a cape, a long, looks like some guy from England, you know, a British.
Right.
And that was, it was just pitch black, but I could clearly see him.
Right.
And then it was gone. I think my cat saw it against the light or something, because I had, in that time area, I had a great big Persian, a male black Persian. It is a giant cat, and he feared nothing.
Right.
You know, he thought he was a mountain lion. And we're playing in the living room, and all the lights are on. And I got a little toy mouse thing. I'm playing. Suddenly he looks up towards the ceiling, and he growls, and then he lays his ears back, and then he lets out this hiss and shows his teeth and growls again, and there's nothing there. And then he takes off down the hallway, and I follow him on his name, and he's under my bed, and he's not coming out.
Amazing.
You know, so I don't know if you saw the fat man or whatever. I didn't see anything. He sure did.
Yeah. Animals definitely could see more than you or I. And isn't it interesting, George, I just mentioned the top hat wearing guy.
Yeah.
Will have a cape, usually. And it's the strangest thing. I don't know if that's just like...
That's weird. Does he walk with a cane or anything?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, but it's the same ominous feel. He does the same things. But, you know, interesting enough, and this is another pattern that I didn't get to put in the book because it's like it dawned on me not too long ago. The top hat and the cape is usually his outdoor gear. So when
he's aware of the outside elements, huh?
Oh, almost as if. And when he's indoors, it's more of this gaucho flat-rimmed hat. And a trench coat. So, yeah, it's bizarre. Not always, but I just hear this more often. And here he was crawling into the window, coming in, and it's such a strange thing to have your reality shook up like Michael was just sharing, in regard to you know, you saw this real thing and you're diving for it and it's gone. It's like, I know what I experienced, and that's the beauty of people like him sharing their stories and just saying, look. You know me. I'm not a person to make things up. I experienced this. I know he's real. And that's what is so earth-shatteringly scary as well, because he is such a real entity. And he's creeping around.
Let's go to Lori in British Columbia, Canada now on the international line. Lori, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. This is like, wow. I would like to sit down and have a drink with you.
Oh, my God. That would be you, Heidi. That would be you.
It's George.
Yes, yes. remember the movie Joe Black?
Yeah.
Yes. Joe Black?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. my question is, I've seen the small hat guy twice in town, and I live in northern B.C., and each time I saw him, it was when I was going home from work. And he didn't have the top hat or anything. He had the shorter hat with a long black jack coat.
Got it.
And dress pants and ties, the whole bit. And I looked at him and I thought, oh, my God, where the hell is he from? just kind of turned me because, like, I live in a very small town, and he was, like, dressed to the nines.
And you said smaller.
Anyways,
as in how small?
5,000.
I'm sorry?
5,000.
Oh, no, I thought you said, I thought you said you saw a small hat man or something.
No, the guy with wearing the small hat.
Gotcha, okay, yeah.
Right. I've seen him twice, and listening to the show tonight, it's like surreal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm living in a small town in northern B.C. You know what I'm saying?
But, the hat man and the shadow person, they have no boundaries, Heidi, do they?
No, they don't. And that's the cool thing when you do live in a small town. People notice them. They stand out, and it's like, who's that guy? What's he doing hanging outside, you know? It's like it's such an earth-shattering reality. And then that feeling that he's looking at you, and you feel threatened by his presence. You know,
do they
not right.
primarily come out at night?
He does tend to. I mean, they do not like these dark things, no matter what they are, aliens even. And keep a light on. Keep a light on at nighttime. So you could see them coming, and they're less likely to approach because, you know, it takes their shade, their protection away to blend in with the darkness. So they really don't like the light. But Hatman will be seen during the daytime.
Let's go to, we're not going to have that much time. We're already at the break. Can you believe that, Heidi? Goes
yeah.
by fast. Get out a couple of your websites, though.
HeidiHollis.com, the other F-word.com, ParanormalPledge.com, AlienAdvice.com, and UFO.
Oh, my God. What do you do with so many websites?
You know what? I try to address a lot of different topics because I think they're all connected, and I think there's a lot to be said for each, and I think they could all be addressed similarly. So I try to approach them as, you know, level-headed as I can, and you know, over the years, it's like, oh, this one sounds better. Oh, that sounds better. I'm like, you know what? HeidiHollis.com, just connect them all there.
All right, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with Heidi in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And on our next Coast to Coast program, we'll be talking with Marcus Wynn about some incredible things that are going on worldwide. Fascinating things, a little bit about depossession, so make sure you're part of that program. We'll be back with final calls with Heidi Hollis in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Heidi Hollis with us. Heidi, if you had to encounter a shadow person or a hat man, which one would you want to encounter?
Shadow people. Hat man is probably...
You don't like the hat man, do you?
Oh, gosh. No, I do not. And you know what's a disturbing trend, too, George, is the emails that I receive went from alien intrusions to shadow people intrusions till now, like 90% Hatman emails.
He's everywhere.
He is, and he's picking up the pace. But know that the light is also picking up the pace. So Jesus encounters, angel encounters are also on the rise. So, and I wanted to put out another website, GeorgeFickleFinders.com. I forgot to mention that one. And I have to tell you, George, when people learn I was coming on here, I've had a couple of friends saying they have a crush on you. What's going on, George?
They have a crush on me?
Yes. I mean, on Facebook, I had a couple of friends, Deborah, I'm calling her out, have a crush on you.
When you have, when you got it, you got it, Heidi.
You
what
know,
can I say?
I had to tell you. I just had to tell you because it's cute.
let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Burnell is with us. Hey, Burnell, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I'd like to tell you how to get rid of shadow people.
Okay.
Okay. I did this exercise. It's part of the five Tibetan rites. And one of the parts is that you spin to the right with your arms outstretched. And what that actually does is create a tachyon vortex. And when I did this, I counted 25 shadow people a night passing by me, going into the vortex, and it took about a year. I lived in a house in Dallas County. It was the oldest in Dallas County. It was built in 1850, and it took about a year to clear them all out.
I've got a faster method for you.
What's that?
Go through your home yourself, not calling it a pastor or priest, but going through it yourself and blessing every corner of your home. And you can get rid of them in one night in Jesus' name. Boom, done. So much easier. But, you know, again, whatever works for people and their beliefs. But I tell you, it's worked for me, and it's worked for hundreds, if not thousands, of people that I've told this to over the years. Because I've been talking on this subject. I wrote my book in 97 and was sending it around trying to get it published for 4 years before it finally got picked up. But, yeah, so I mean, I've been doing this a very long time, and trust me when I say you can build up your protective field in God's name and be done.
One of my daughters bought a house here in St. Louis, built in 1897, Heidi, and she's one of those interior decorators, so she likes going through it and, you know, patching it up and fixing it. So I had brunch with her yesterday and her little boy, Gavin, my grandson, and he was telling me, they call me Papa Giorgio, by the way, and he said, Papa, there's a shadow person in this house. Now, this kid, keep in mind, he's 6 years old, and I said, what do you mean, Gavin? And he said, well, you know, I'm in the house, and I can see this shadow person, this guy goes around the room. I said, have you told your mother about this? And she kind of said, yeah, I've kind of seen this thing too. So do they occupy houses like that?
They do. And, you know, I tell people, if you go into a house or any location that you know is haunted, I guarantee that there's a shadow person that's helping to keep that energy of the past souls there. So if there's a shadow person, there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes. And I don't entertain these things, ghosts or not. And oh my goodness, little girl ghosts especially, because they're usually demonic. Don't toy with them. Don't think they're cute and innocent. No, just send them on their way. What God do you know would allow a child to roam the earth? I mean, that's not a child. Send it on its way. Bless your home. Do it yourself. So many times I hear people say, well, I called the priest and he blessed it. I'm like, that's not going to hold it. You're hiding behind his faith. You need to stand up and acknowledge your faith and have no doubts in it. And that works every time. They may scratch at the surface to try to get at you, come in your dreams and whatnot, but just back them off. And sometimes people get some stuff on their shoes and come in your place and they drag some more negativity in your house. Just bless it again and move on. It works.
Have you dealt with the black-eyed children, too?
Oh, gosh, no. But you know what? That's a topic I think I might at some point, just because...
Yeah, that's something I think you should jump into.
I really think I'm going to, because it does relate a bit to the topics that I cover, including, like, hybrid alien children. I had a very interesting run-in with one myself, and but it was a hybrid looking thing. But I haven't had anything knock at my door. I'll tell them to go down to St. Louis to see Papa Giorgio if that happens.
Let's go see Mark in Montreal, Canada. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good,
Rachel,
Mark.
George, as usual, and hi,
thank
Heidi.
You, sir.
Hey there.
What I want to say, I know a girl. Okay, a good friend of mine. 1976, she was 10 years old. She woke up during the night. There was a, the way she described it, was a hat man standing at the foot of her bed having a cigarette. And her father, she started to scream. Her father got up. He saw it himself, too. He chased it through the house, and he chased it out of the house. And you could smell the cigarette smoke in the room.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
That tripped me up.
I have heard of this before, and I have heard people say that they smell the smoke. I guess he might have a habit, but I hope it kills him. But
I don't know if they die that way, Heidi.
I know, but, you know, wishful thinking, George, what can I say? But I don't know. I mean, it's so strange, the things that he tends to do, and he'll rock in a rocking chair, and he'll point at artwork sometimes and mouth words, but he really, really works a person for a very long period of time. But I really am more disturbed when he comes after children and when children are most aware. I had somebody write me, tell me about, it's strange to think that somebody is 18 months old and recalls this, but they recalled it because the Hat Man appeared to them, and he gave the impression to a child of that age that if he cried, the Hat Man was going to kill him. What kind of power do you wield that you're able to get that into the mind of an 18-month-old? And people have got to start putting their defenses up and start protecting their children, too, in this battle between good and evil.
Mark's in Jamestown, North Carolina now. Welcome to the program. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Mark.
It's been a long time listener.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Real quick, I have three episodes I want to discuss with Heidi.
All right.
The first one is predates all the other ones, but I was in a 100-year-old building in an apartment, and we had video monitors, and there's another guy at me watching. And we seen this dark figure walk down the hallway, enter the laundry room, and when we went down there, there was nobody there. And then another time, this is all before, you know, like ghost hunters, everything else, back in the early 1990s, a couple of friends of mine, I had no interest. But we went out to a cemetery, and they started taking photos, and I felt just a real, like, pinpricks of light on my shoulders. And, I mean, they took, like, 100 photos. We went back to the house, downloaded them, and there's all these bright white orbs. You could see them clearly surrounding me. And after that, we went back like 2 weeks later, and I just had this overwhelming fearing of doom. They took the same, you know, like 100 pictures again, and what came out was just these bright pink images surrounding me. I'm wondering if, you know, Heidi has any recommendation on that.
When it comes to any of these dark things showing up, getting too close to you, surrounding you, I say, you know, bless your surroundings where you live at. If you're only renting a room in a place, bless that room.
So be it. That's right.
Indeed. I mean, put your ethereal foot down to protect yourself so it doesn't follow you home, so you don't get surrounded by these things. I mean, it's something that I feel is essential. It all goes back to your faith, once again, the other F word, as I call it, and just, you know, take in charge. Don't sit back idly.
One question, though. Well, what do you base your F word on?
Faith?
Biblically, or?
I'm sorry? What's that?
Do you base the F word biblically?
I do, for myself, yes. I consider myself Christian, not New Age, none of that other stuff. But, you know, whatever, you know, people feel is true for themselves, you know, this is where I'm at. So it's like I try not to push it or slam it down somebody's throat, but, you know, I'm going to keep it honest, and this is what works. This is what I know that works. And, you know, Jesus' name works in the face of all these horrible things. And it needs to be just, you know, acknowledged. So many people tiptoe around the subject, and I'm like, look, this is too darn important to tiptoe around, and I'm not going to do it. I mean, in the face of what we're all up against,
this is the secret war. This is the battle between good and evil. It's nothing to sneeze at. And though I have a good time talking on these topics, and I love to crack jokes and whatnot, but it's a very serious topic, and I take it very serious. And I hope to inspire people to treat these topics like anything else, as far as, you know, sharing who you are when you share these stories. So, you know, I applaud you for taking the step forward to share your story too.
How do we know that the Hat Man or the Shadow Person is not a product of Lucifer?
I don't think that we don't, because I really think it's related. Once again, I think they're all related. I think the negative abducting aliens are as well. No matter what an abductee shares, you know, oh, they've taught me so many cool things. I think it's just like the Hat Man punching the father, the abusive father, in the face. You know, it's like, here's a gift for you. You know, just stay cool and worship me or something. It's not about being polite always to say, you know, well, hey, the aliens are cool just because, you know, this person's experiencing it. You know, if they're doing things against your will, if they're coming to you like a thief in the night because they can't take you on for the person that you are, it's negative. If somebody you knew did this, would you think they were okay? It's
nope.
Not okay.
Let's go to Chris in Corpus Christi, Texas. First-time caller. Chris, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Chris. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to say hi to my beautiful girlfriend at home who should be in bed right now and tell her I love her.
There you go.
I just got off of work, so I just wanted to share
have a
story
crush
real
on George,
quick.
Does she? I'm just kidding.
When I was about 8 or 9, I lived in a two-story house, and I would sleep in the game room, and we had two entryways, one on the right and one on the left. Well, the TV was facing the entryways, and I can specifically remember when I was little, always seeing a shadowy figure kind of watching me on the right-hand side of the room, and it never confronted me, never came up to me, but it was always just kind of standing there, and I could see it real vividly, and the best way I could describe it is darker than dark. Like, imagine the darkest thing you've ever seen, and this is more dark than that. It was incredible, and like I said, it never confronted me, but I did have these really lucid, vivid dreams of hiding under my dining room table and watching this shadowy figure go from room to room all the way down the stairs into my parents' bedroom. And then as soon as it got to the base of the dining room table, I could see the long coat and the legs, and then I would just wake up. And it was incredibly scary. But there was one time we had bunk beds, and my brother was sleeping on the bunk bed and I was on the floor, and we had kind of made a fort around the bunk bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night to the whole bunk bed shaking just furiously. And I tried to scream. I couldn't. I tried to grab my brother. I couldn't. And out of nowhere, it just stopped. And I reached my hand up, grabbed my brother's leg. He woke up. And I mean, as quick as it started, it just ended. And I never did anything religious. I'm not a religious person, but it just, as I got older, it just kind of went away. Eventually moved out of the house. And, you know, from time to time, I still have like these kind of little experiences here and there, but, you know, nothing crazy. So I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that kind of have the same thing.
People like yourself and myself, you know, when we experience these horrific things and they're like, but I'm not religious. It's like, you know, in a moment like that, I just don't see why people don't look to try to find something, because how are you going to fight it? I mean, you couldn't move. You couldn't speak. How are you going to take control of the situation if you don't have something on your side that's even more powerful? So I would say it's not about being religious, because that's a different thing. But getting your faith, that's where you need to find in the face of all of this. So if there's so many people, once they've experienced something so horrific like this, they're fearful for the rest of their lives, I'm finding, that this may happen again. And for good cause, because you know what? The chances are he's going to come back. And I'd say be better prepared next time that you can throw something at him and say, you know what? You're not going to take control this time, buddy. So look to your faith. It's not about sitting in a pew at church or something. It's about having no doubts and looking to God. And, you know, I'm sorry, but Jesus is what I turn to. And you know, just having some faith behind your words. Because I've had people say, I said in God's name, Jesus' name, go away. But you know what? You got to have something behind those words. You can't just throw things like a shoe. You might as well throw a shoe at them, Because if you don't have something behind it, no weight behind it, it's not going to work. But there's a way to keep him away and know this. I mean, I'm talking about this guy. I insult him all the time, by the way. And it's like I'm not going to do it on here. But it's just because I have confidence and I have the faith and I have a good, strong basis from where I work from to know I'm going to be okay. I can do this. And everybody else can, too. I'm nobody special. I mean, but please, I'm so passionate about this to get people to realize that this is going on. This is a real thing. And we all need to help each other, open each other's eyes, even if you got to pry them open sometimes, and just get the word out there. I mean, it's so important. It's a matter of not just life and death, but eternity, you know. It's so strange to think that there's a fiery pit or something, but something the likes of the devil is looking at you at the foot of your bed, and you feel it. And you know it's got no good intentions, that with a look, it could paralyze you. So come on, people. We got to start looking to this as being a real phenomenon and taking charge. Get your faith right. You know, the other fword.com, please join me in trying to figure this out. Find out where you're at and move on. My new book, The Other F Word, is coming out in December. And, you know, I just try to keep it real. Diary Blog of the Fickle Finders investigates the other F word. That's the book that it's like 250 pages with graphic novel that I'm a cartoonist as well. So, I mean, I try to keep it real and just relate it. Have a good time in figuring your faith out. It's not about Bible thumping. It's just about keeping it real. And I'm doing my best. And, you know, hey, I welcome people, excuse me, to write me at dustoutlander@gmail.com with your comments and questions. And
great, and we can get to it on your website. Heidi, once again, thank you so much. The Hat Man. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boris, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.